I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hi, it's Wednesday.
It is. No, it's not.
No, it's Thursday.
It's Thursday.
It is Thursday.
I'll let you do the intro, Lauren, and you can't even get the day right.
I know. Sorry.
Well, again, we had this discussion yesterday. It was Wednesday here, it was Thursday in Australia. But I don't know if it's...
I don't think you can do it the other way around.
I don't think it's Wednesday anywhere else right now.
No. But it's happy Thursday, everyone.
It's Lauren Wood. She's co-hosting. I'm Brad Locke.
I'm here
because
today.
Derek Russell is not here. Or is he?
Ooh.
He's not here, but he is.
Oh, I see where you're going.
You'll see what I mean later in the show.
Later.
He's on the show.
Keep listening.
But he's not here on this Thursday, June 30th. Final day of June.
I know it's almost July.
School starts back in a month. How's that make everybody feel? Ooh. Kids? How's that make you feel, kids? Summer's almost over, and it just started.
Halfway over.
Because it's ridiculous how early they start school.
Good
when
stuff.
I was a boy, we didn't start school until like September 5th or 6th or whatever.
In Michigan, they don't start till after Labor Day.
I mean, that's the 80s, but...
Maybe you could have used an extra month of school.
I probably could have, to be honest. I did have to take summer school 1 year in high school.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I got my extra month that year. But, yeah, it's last day of June.
Yep.
It was very pleasant this morning when I walked outside, surprisingly.
Yeah, the weather on the radio when I was driving to work, they're like, it's going to be 90 today, but it's going to be low humidity, so it's going to actually feel like low 90s today.
I know.
It's like, oh, how nice.
You got something wrong with your eyes there? You okay?
No.
Just rubbing your eyes?
My eyes were really tired yesterday.
You're wearing your glasses today.
So I wore my glasses today.
Okay.
I like those. Usually contact wear.
Me too. I like those pants. They're very floral.
Thanks. I'm trying more color. It's summer.
You got lots of flower. Yeah, there you go.
You know.
Think I could pull those off?
Yes, with your lime green shirt.
With my lime green shirt?
Yes.
That would go with it. Is that where we're going with lime green? Highlighter green?
Mm-hmm. I don't wear that color, but you do.
So, yeah, because see, I was talking the other day with you and Kristen out that works mm-hmm. over in advertising
she
about this. She likes it.
Yep.
You like it.
Mm-hmm.
Derek and Chris were giving me grief about it the other day. Mm-hmm. So I went over and I was like,
well, they had to sit and like stare at you all day.
Right.
At your shirt.
You're saying you would get tired of it if
I had... My eyes would get tired of it. Like, it's a very bright color.
It is.
So, just saying.
Just trying to brighten up this.
It's not a bad shirt.
I was still seeing spots
newsroom
for about 30 minutes afterward. I kept blinking, and I'd still see your shirt.
See the outline of your shirt.
Everywhere I looked. It's like, there's Brad. Oh, wait, no, it's just an optical illusion.
Nice. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, the people with fashion sense like it.
Ooh, okay.
That's Podgator. Podgator doesn't make enough appearances on the show, in my opinion. He just sits over there on top of the audio...
He's like
thing,
the
whatever
really
that is,
big gator
you call it
in
Chris.
Florida that like is roaming around everywhere.
He watches.
He was spotted again. The one that was like randomly on the golf course or whatever.
Yeah.
Or he's spotted again.
Did you hear about in Connecticut that somebody thought they spotted a gator in a river? It turned out to be a stuffed animal.
It's not a gator.
Like,
sorry,
since when does Connecticut get gators?
No, they don't.
A little bit out of their habitat, I would guess.
Yeah.
Maybe there's gators up north. I don't know.
No.
I didn't think so.
Never had to worry about that swimming growing up, so...
Yeah. So, no gators in Connecticut.
No.
That would be quite the story if there was.
But, Brad, what do we have today?
What do we have today? We have Bobby Harrison. He's going to talk about Steve Holland, the longtime state representative
mm-hmm.
who says he's going to retire.
Yeah.
We'll believe it when it happens.
I imagine he's got some pretty good Steve Holland stories he can tell us, too.
And something he couldn't tell us.
Fair enough.
So we have him on here. We're going to have Floyd Ingram on to talk about the latest with the possible... consolidation in Chickasaw County mm-hmm. of the schools down there. And
we'll have seen.
What?
We'll have seen.
We'll have seen.
With Derek.
Derek will talk with us about the scene.
4th of July events.
Even though he's not here.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll also interview Scott.
And he'll interview Scott Morris about the Independence Day Resurgence movie that Scott has that review in today's journal. It's all podcast magic is how this works.
Yeah.
It's regular. It's not even technical. It's just magic. Chris is a wizard.
Magic,
don't
magic,
ask.
Magic.
Just sit back.
It's illusions. Illusionist, not a magician.
And enjoy.
Illusionist.
Yes. Need to remind you that today's show is brought to you by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere.
South is wonderful.
It is. It's on North Gloucester there, just other side of McCullough Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
The old Shoney's location. I miss Shoney's. Good memories, dude. Even though it was probably not that great of food. Just good memories from when I was a kid, going to Shoney's, eating that from the buffet, all the bacon you could handle.
We used to go a lot. They had a char-grilled chicken that I used to really like. I just remember that's what I'd always get there. And I remember getting sucker, too.
Getting what?
Sucker.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I would always get a sucker.
Yeah.
And that hot fudge cake.
Was that not big in Michigan?
Oh, so good.
We don't have Shoney's. We have Big Boy.
Yeah, Big Boy. They have like, what's that, Bob Evans or something?
Oh, Bob Evans.
I've been there once.
We have Bob Evans in like Kentucky.
I was driving through Ohio and stopped at a Bob Evans.
Yeah, Bob Evans is, oh my
God.
Chicken noodle soup. Mm.
Remember the dessert was good. It was some kind of peanut banana butter bread? Chocolate thing.
Yep. I know exactly what I order at Bob Evans. I haven't been there in years, so.
So it's a Midwestern restaurant name, though, isn't it? Bob Evans.
It's a very Midwestern name.
You know the jingle?
Yeah.
Nice.
But you know,
but they like sell Bob Evans stuff at the grocery store. Sure. At least they did online.
Southern name for a restaurant? South.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. We won't find something called South up in Detroit, probably. Although I think some of those cities, when I was in Detroit a few years ago, I think it seems like there were, I don't think we went to eat there, but there was like a Southern type.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a type of cuisine. You can go to LA and get, like, you can go to a Southern restaurant.
But, you know, is it like legit Southern cuisine? Like, can you get.
Well, no, everyone down here will say no.
Yeah, probably so.
But it's probably people who are from the South and then move somewhere else and are like, I'm going to bring this goodness to the world. Yeah. But everyone here is going to be like, no, it's not authentic because it's not here.
Well, I guess it's like trying to get good seafood in Nebraska.
This thing, people eat seafood in Nebraska, and it's such like a weird concept for everyone here.
I went to Nebraska a few years ago, Omaha.
I mean,
I ate steak.
Well, yeah, that's
steak.
Where
that
I
goes,
mean,
yeah.
But we
eat, but you probably
I mean,
need some variety. I mean, people eat Chinese food in Mississippi.
True.
Because, mm-hmm. I mean, we eat a lot of freshwater fish in Michigan, like salmon.
Oh, I love salmon. Mm. Give me salmon every day, all day.
Yep, me too.
But also catfish.
But also catfish.
So, we have a packed show today, my friends. Mm-hmm. So, I suppose we should get to it, Lauren.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. We go down to Jackson now and bring in Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison. Bobby, how you doing?
Hey, Brad, how you doing?
I'm all right, man. Hey, we get to talk about Steve Holland today. That's always fun.
Might not get too much longer, so I guess we should enjoy it.
Well, he kind of, you know, they had that special session this week to try to balance the budget down there at the Capitol, and on the second and final day, Steve Holland is standing up there talking and then decides to tell everybody, hey, by the way, I'm probably going to retire this week. So that kind of came out of nowhere, didn't it, Bobby?
Yeah, it came out of nowhere. I mean, you know, he's privately said for years that his business, you know, he's a funeral home director in Tupelo in Lee County, and he, by all accounts, has a pretty, you know, successful business. And he has been kind of torn for a number of years trying to manage that business and do funerals and all the stuff that involves, and also serve in the legislature. And so he's talked about it for a time, but nobody really believed he would do it because he, you know, generally most people believe he just, you know, loves the process so much. So it just, from that perspective, just came out of the blue. He was up at the well of the House, I think, arguing in favor of providing more money for Department of Mental Health in the budget. And he just, you know, he talked about his father dying, I think, a couple weeks ago. And he was planning to submit his retirement papers today at 5 p.m. As it turned out, he got it dated to 4:59, in typical Holland fashion.
Yeah.
And so, but then he did kind of reserve the right to change his mind, and a number of legislators, Republicans and Democrats, were asking him to do that. So we'll see what happens today.
Well, you never know. I know some people are going to try to talk him out of it, and certainly right. Steve has been known to say some things that get attention. But you know, it sounds like he's really sincere and wanting to do this, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't. He may change his mind, but I don't think it was a case of him trying to get attention yesterday. I think he is to the point where you know, he and his mother pretty much run the funeral home. You know, Justice Court Judge Sadie Holland, and she's, I'm forgetting now, Brad, I forgot, you know, she's in her 80s.
She's 85.
And Steve says she's not running for another, you know, another term. And so I guess he felt somebody needed to be more solely devoted to or he thinks someone needs to be more solely devoted to the funeral home. So, we'll see what happens.
Well, you know, the announcement brought a lot of reaction from fellow lawmakers, and you know, even this is one of those things. These Republicans, Democrats, they go back and forth, and certainly went back and forth this week. And Steve had some strong words about the budget issue, but in the end, I mean, there's several Republicans you quote to say, you know, he's going to be missed, and that we really need someone like him around.
Yeah, he has a ton of institutional knowledge. He knows the process, and he probably knows more about as much about the Medicaid budget, which is probably the most complicated budget in state government. He probably knows as much about it as anybody in the legislature. Now, he's kind of been shy out of the process to a certain extent with the Republicans holding the majorities in both the House and the Senate and in the governor's mansion. But he still has proven to be effective. I mean, you know, you think about it, he offered the amendment that got the money for the Elvis Presley Park. He offered an amendment that got the Tupelo included in the legislation to allow people to drink, in a restricted area.
The leisure district, yeah.
The leisure district. He offered that amendment. He was instrumental in getting, he wasn't the only one, but he was instrumental in getting the money for the Vietnam Wall, the memorial wall that's going to be built there at Veterans Park on the east side of town. So he's still effective. And he says the fact that he is in the minority had nothing to do with him wanting to retire. It's just a matter of, as I said earlier, the issue of the business, which he said that his first call in his admission in life, he believes that being a funeral home director and is a call in life, and he thinks that it's his ministry more so than the legislature.
Well, he's been in the Mississippi House since 1984. He's 60 years old. I mean, he's still a youngish man.
He had health problems. He's had some serious health problems, though.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, he definitely had some health issues. Wonder if that contributes to it. Go ahead, Bobby.
Yeah, we hadn't even touched on, he's probably one of the most,
I was about to say.
Everything else, he's one of the most, often quoted as far as, colorful, sometimes off-color language. It's hard to fit into the news, being in newspapers dedicated to the service of God and mankind. he is known for that, his colorful language. He's a very good writer. Just a little side note, Brad, he ran, he lost his first election. He ran for the state house in a special election. Maybe 81 or 82, and he actually ran as a Republican at that time. And he was actually good friends and active in the state Republican Party with Haley Barbour and others, and it was very active. And he ran as a Republican, and he said, the quote he had is, "My grandmother wouldn't even vote for me."
There's a lot. I'm sure you have a lot of good Steve Holland stories. Some you could tell, some you probably couldn't, Bobby. Didn't know if there's a favorite of yours regarding Steve that you could pick out.
Well, I guess my favorite was, and he may not actually like this story, but he and Billy McCoy had the former speaker, been out of office since 2008. He left. He was a former speaker, and they, he was from Ryan's, and they were sort of came in together, and they rode to Jackson together, but they kind of had a love hate relationship, and they would get in fights on the floor on occasion. Normally they were on the same side, but they were on a different side. They were pretty funny, and no holds barred. And this was when McCoy was speaker. A member stood up to ask a bill be read, and McCoy was always, generally has that right to have a bill read, so he ordered the clerk to, read the bill. And Holland, was upset about it. He said, "Well, he's going to read the bill. We're leaving." He got up and went to the, he said, "We're leaving." He got from letter of vote to leave the chamber, and he got to the front of the chamber. He turned around, and there was nobody behind him. And McCoy told him to sit down or get out, but not in nearly as nice a term. And he kind of growled something back, and it was, he had so many great quotes, and there's just too many to even list all of them.
And I was actually watching the web stream when he was talking and yesterday, and right before, when he was closing, he's like, "I love all of you, but some of you more than others."
You're right. That's right. That's right.
That's pretty classic. Well, Bobby, you serve in the legislature that long, you're going to have a legacy that's leave behind. And what would you say might be Steve Holland's legacy?
was public health chair for a number of years, and even before he was public health chair, he was very active in the area of public health. And he was active in growing the state's mental health agency, and played a key role probably I think in getting the hospital, the mental health hospital there in Tupelo. And also, people forget that before he was mental health chair, he was ag chair. He was instrumental in some of the programs that helped farmers throughout the state and was very active in those. So I would say those are probably his legacies.
All right. Well, longtime representative, Steve Holland, Democrat from Plantersville, saying he's going to retire, and if he follows through with it, we'll certainly, either way, we'll have updates from Bobby down in Jackson at djournal.com and in the Daily Journal. Bobby, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for joining us.
And Brad, just by the way, they did pass legislation to allow the governor to transfer money from the rainy day.
Oh, yeah. Did wonder. I guess we should mention that, too, huh?
Yeah, so they did do that.
Yeah.
2 days, but they got it done.
Yeah, what's about is what we expected, I guess, wasn't it?
Yeah, right.
Right, okay. All right, then.
All right, Brad, have a good day.
Thanks. Hey, be sure to look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports webcast with myself and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can watch the webcast live around 11 a.m. at djournal.com. The podcast version drops later that day. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. I had a new episode yesterday. It was actually David Wheeler sitting in with me to talk about a lot of the summer baseball that's going on around here. Then next week, we'll not have Prep Rally because, again, I'll be out of town. And also, Ole Miss and MSU fans, be sure to check out Double Coverage. It's Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry. And they release a new episode every Thursday in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. No episode this week, Chris, correct?
I think I was about to ask you the same, but yeah,
Parrish is out of town.
Parrish is out of town. So.
So I assume they'll be back next week.
As far as I know, and they're going to be getting close to SEC Media Days, I guess maybe next week they'll be kind of talking about the lead up to it.
It is coming up pretty soon, yes. So anyway, just keep an eye out for those. You can follow those shows on Twitter to keep up with when the latest episodes come out. You can follow Prep Rally on Twitter at DJournalPreps and can follow Double Coverage on Twitter at DJ Double Cover. So check out those podcasts. And also check out every Monday the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast. It's Bobby Harrison, Capitol Bureau Chief, providing commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. We had an episode earlier this week. You can go search for it on djournal.com or find it on our YouTube channel.
And then, of course, no episode of that next week either,
right,
because it'll be the 4th of July.
Right. Plus, I'm out of town.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so check those out. Well, let's welcome in Floyd Ingram, a reporter for our Chickasaw Journal, one of our sister publications. Floyd, how you doing?
Doing pretty good down here in Houston today, Brad.
Good deal, man. I want to talk with you about this consolidation issue going on in Chickasaw County. Of course, looking like that before too long, they're going to try to consolidate all the school districts down there, Floyd. Not quite a done deal yet, but they've got a commission set up, a 9-member commission, to try to determine how, to make this happen. And they met earlier this week, and according to the story you had in today's journal, Floyd, they cleared a big hurdle. What was that big hurdle?
Basically, as with any form of government, it's how your people are going to have input, how they're going to elect trustees. Of course, the consolidation issue is Hulka Schools, Houston Schools, and Oklahoma Schools. Each of those are a separate school district. They elect their own 5-member school boards. What the legislature has asked this commission to do is to come up with a plan of how they would select trustees, school board trustees, to govern this newly formed Chickasaw Consolidated School District.
And, how much weight does this carry? I mean, they're just trying to basically come up with ideas and give advice, and then the legislature kind of runs with what they want to, or how does that work?
I would hate to second-guess the Mississippi Mississippi legislature, but Mike Kent, who is Mississippi Department of Education deputy state superintendent, and he's chairman of this board, said he felt like lawmakers would look, of course, and see if this sort of fit what the I'll go ahead and say it, Republican plan is for education and consolidation issues that they're pushing statewide down in Jackson. Chickasaw County pretty much made themselves a target for consolidation. We Oklahoma schools went into conservatorship. Hulker Schools, one of the smallest school districts in the state. Houston Schools, average test scores. I will go ahead and add, we've got both our representative and both our senator from Chickasaw County are Democrats. So it was an easy move for the Republican leadership to sort of single out Chickasaw County. I will also say I think this is a trend that you'll see move to other school districts around the state and across North Mississippi in the future. Exactly how each district handles this, Mike Kent said that each of them is a unique situation, and each of them sort of need to come up with their own ideas of how they would want to handle this. I guess it all boils down to either the Mississippi legislature is going to make some decisions, or we get our ducks in a row down here in Chickasaw County and offer some solutions of our own.
One thing you mentioned in the story, Floyd, was were some racial undertones, racial overtones during this discussion. Maybe that has to do with exactly who goes to what school, district line decisions and whatnot. Is that a big concern?
Brad, this is Mississippi. Race is always an issue. I grew up in this state, and like I said, race is always an issue. Oklahoma is like 98% African American student population. Houston is about 50-50. Chickasaw County or Hulker Schools are about 57% white. So there were some issues about exactly how Oklahoma is a 2A school district. Houston is a 4A. Hulk is a 1A school district. So you couldn't just do it on population or district boundary lines. We also have something a little unique or strange in Oklahoma. Years ago, Jack Gordon had Oklahoma School District go over into Monroe County. So there's I don't know the exact numbers, but there's a sizable number of students from Monroe County that go to Oklahoma Schools. It's part of the Oklahoma School District is part of reaches into Monroe County.
Yeah.
How that will be addressed, and again, that's a decision for the legislature to make. One of the things, again, that Mike Kent said that the bill and what he felt like lawmakers down in Jackson were looking for was an administrative consolidation. I have run hot and cold on this issue. Three superintendents making around $100,000 a year in three little school districts in Chickasaw County, that's rather expensive. Yeah. Is there a way that we could, join forces with our cafeterias, with counselors, with special education services? One of the areas that we're already working together, Hulk and Houston School District, share a vocational center. And the programs are offered in Hulk of schools, and the kids catch a bus in the morning, come down to Houston Schools, do vocational education classes, and then head back to Hulk in the afternoon. So there's some good points to consolidation. I guess as with anything, the proof is in the pudding. What you make of it. Kent said yesterday that no one wanted to be in that room. The consolidation has sort of been forced down the throats of the people of Chickasaw County. And each district needs to rise to the occasion and do what they feel like is best for their students and, of course, their taxpayers. And but it's an interesting story. There will be many more headlines concerning this issue. And like I said, I do think this is a trend that you will see carry over to school districts around Northeast Mississippi.
Well, we'll keep track of it, Floyd, and you'll keep track of it for sure. So people are going to check out his story in today's journal or at djournal.com. Floyd, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Appreciate your time.
The Daily Journal is excited to announce a change on our website that will allow more people to consume as much of our content as they want. We've recently removed our paywall, and djournal.com is now free from the first click to the last. We've also increased our multimedia content by launching new products ranging from videos to webcasts. The website complements our print product, the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. You can visit djournal.com to stay informed on the latest news in Northeast Mississippi, whether you want a recipe for tonight's dinner or details on the city's plan to revitalize neighborhoods. You can find it all in one place. There's no limit to what you can do at djournal.com, so come and stay a while and leave informed about the communities we serve.
It's true. All of those things.
All of those things, Lauren. And now, it's time for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. The Mississippi House of Representatives voted on Wednesday to give Governor Phil Bryant the ability to tap into state reserves to plug budget holes. The vote came on the second day of a special session to balance the budget at the end of the fiscal year, which ends at midnight tonight. The Senate had agreed to a similar provision on Tuesday. It is expected an additional $60 million will be needed to balance the budget. Bryant has already transferred $45.2 million from the Rainy Day Fund and made cuts totaling more than $60 million. He needed authority from the legislature in order to take more money from the Rainy Day Fund.
The Baldwin Main Street Association has taken note of the revitalization of downtown Baldwin. They're doing a lot of work there, I will say.
Yeah. They are.
The group has named Baldwin Main Street Chamber Director Lori Tucker as Mississippi's best director. Tucker was singled out among the 52 chapters across the state and was presented the Charles Beasley Scholarship Award for Outstanding Main Street Director. Tucker has served as the director since 2008 and has overseen the creation of a four-block historic district that is now on the National Register of Historic Places. Eight buildings have been restored to their historic appearances using federal and state tax credits.
Lucia Randall has joined the Boys and Girls Clubs of North Mississippi as the Director of Marketing and Special Events. Randall has almost 10 years of marketing, advertising, and public relations experience. She started work this week for the organization that runs clubs in Tupelo, New Albany, Ripley, and Oxford. Prior to joining the organization, Randall agreed to participate in Dance Like the Stars, one of the group's biggest fundraisers of the year.
Bancorp South has been fined $10.6 million by the Department of Justice and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which alleged the Tupelo-based bank deliberately discriminated against minorities in its lending practices. The company is accused of deliberately avoiding building branches in minority neighborhoods in Memphis from at least 2011 to 2013. The Justice Department and the CFPB said the bank also denied loans to African Americans and other minorities when compared to neighborhoods with smaller minority populations. While Bancorp South is based in Tupelo, the case deals with Bancorp South present in Memphis and stems from a 2014 investigation. In a statement, Bancorp South said the bank had already addressed the discriminatory practices and recently hired an executive to do outreach in minority and other neighborhoods.
The Mississippi All-State Lions Band won its 32nd international title this week at the 2016 International Lions Parade in Japan. The band is made up of high school band members from across the state, including some students from Lee County and Tupelo. This is the fourth consecutive year the group has won the international title. Hey, go ahead.
Well, yeah, we just want to remind our listeners one more time that South is awesome. It's our show today is sponsored by South, which is a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere featuring Southern Fair, you know, South.
Legit, authentic Southern Fair.
That's where the name comes from.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of new things going on at South. Like, they have a Bellini Mimosa Bar on Saturdays, and they do trivia every week on Wednesdays at 7. And their chef, Nick Rice, has done a lot of things. He's updated the menu, tons of great stuff on there. So
yeah.
Go check out South.
Yeah. Okay.
It's Thursday, heading into the weekend. Scott Moore is joining us now to discuss a little movie magic. You saw the new Independence Day film, 20 years in the making.
That's right.
It's one that's tried to get off the ground several times without success, but they finally did it. Were they successful?
Well, I guess, you know, as far as viewers are concerned, maybe not so. It didn't really do so well at the box office. So a lot of bad reviews of this film have come out.
And, yeah.
My good friend and personal confidant Kelly Carlson at Wizard 106 gave it a D- and said the movie actually hurt her feelings. Me personally, I was never the biggest fan of Independence Day, the original. I thought it was entertaining, but I never thought it was the second coming of Star Wars or anything like that. I didn't think there's anything to mess up.
Yeah.
I mean, and so I wasn't all that excited about seeing this movie. So I went in. I ended up having a pretty good time. It's a kind of a campy thing, I think. I mean, I'm pretty sure they had to know what they were doing.
I mean, from what I was 12 years old when the first one came out. Yeah. I remember going to see it with Marty Russell at the Cinemark. We went and saw it together. The great and powerful Marty Russell. Went and saw it together. And I remember laughing through most of the original one. I don't know if everybody thinks it's this patriotic. I mean, I know when Bill Pullman gives that speech, it's a big to-do, but...
And we remember that speech has been... I mean, that's kind of become an iconic film moment, right. But not from an iconic film.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I was entertained. I was laughing throughout. There's this... All right, then, like our big hero, the sex symbol of the hour, Liam Hemsworth, mm-hmm. He plays Jake. Well, Jake is a hotshot pilot who pushes things too far. Well, I mean, to me, I thought that's almost set up for cliche. And if you either you don't know it's a cliche or you're having fun with the cliche, and I think they're having fun with it. And there are like moments that could be terrible if you thought about them actually happening, as far as giant spacecraft destroying vast civilizations, you know, pieces of civilization. So that stuff is in there too. But then at one moment, there's a giant, evil, destructive alien coming after a school bus filled with children, and they have to wait to save the dog. And it was funny as all get out, because the way Jeff Goldblum reacted at that moment, and it made me think a little about the Superman movie where
Jonathan and Kevin Costner is trying to get the dog. Kevin Costner
is going to get the dog, and cause no, we can't let anybody know you're Superman.
Yeah.
Until the next movie when they all know. Yeah. But anyway, that's a different story. But I give this a B minus. In case you're wondering, Will Smith is not here. I would imagine he was too busy doing something serious.
It sounded like they never even, just from Smith's own words, they never even went after him. Well, I don't know that was something that was in mind all along or not, but
I don't know if he could have helped or hurt this. Yeah. I mean, I give it a B minus. It's a, to me, if it came on cable, I'd watch it again and see if it was still funny. But
the other pilot plays his son, correct?
Right.
Jesse T. Usher.
Jesse T. Usher.
Yeah, Roland Emmerich, for all that's worth, I've never sat down and watched one of his movies thinking it's going to be the great American classic. I mean, I didn't feel that way about 2012 or The Day After Tomorrow or any of those. Right. I mean, they're just supposed to be tongue-in-cheek fun.
Right, and if you have popcorn, so much the better.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine, Kelly, she thought, why is Judd Hirsch here? And I thought, are you kidding me? That was hilarious.
That's probably one of the best parts. Yeah, he was one of the best parts of the first one.
And I argued that, well, there you go, and I also argued that it's for the baby boomers to get their guy from Taxi on there.
You know, that's true,
too. You got to hit every bit. But apparently people aren't seeing this at the theaters, but I think if you give it a try on a bargain night or get there for the first matinee or, heck, wait for cable or TV, I think it's worth your time as a pastime. And again, I think if you go back and watch Independence Day, you might find it wasn't really a great film. It was just an entertaining one.
Yeah, it was summer popcorn. That was
nothing
all
about that movie can be considered canon.
No, not whatsoever. But in this one, it's not the same 2016 we're in now. Obviously, they have adapted.
Yeah.
Tech from these aliens.
Exactly. So they have a better world, except for the fact that aliens attack.
They're coming back again. Yeah, they're even bigger this time.
They've improved. I don't know. I enjoyed the campiness. I mean, it's kind of, think about the old Batman and Robin movies. Maybe not that bad. And something about it reminds me of. I could see them showing this movie at night, at midnight, like they do the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and having people scream lines at the film. There's something about it that seems like you could do that, because there's just so many of these beats and moments that are ripe for that. It walks the line between good and bad, and the result is a bit of silliness, a bit of wackiness, a bit of goofiness, and then some really cool special effects.
Yeah, there you go. You gave it a B-. It's playing at Malco.
Yeah, and the Cinemark. They've changed how they release movies. Not everybody has. Disney's holding on. A few studios are holding on. But for now, You'll find movies both at Cinemark and Malco
mm-hmm.
often.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. Scott, thanks for joining us.
Hey, I'm happy for the opportunity to make this podcast great again.
Nobody was here to stop you on that one. Well, it is Thursday.
And Derek Russell, who's not here today, is here with us.
Is here.
It's weird.
It's magic.
I thought you were
gone.
Would
you like a page,
Lauren? I thought you were off.
Is your mic on, Lauren?
Is it?
I don't know. There, you can have Independence Day. I just discussed that with Scott.
It's like Derek's here, even though he's not, because remember yesterday on the show we said he wouldn't be here. It's almost as if we recorded this on Wednesday.
I'm a voice in your head.
What?
Here to tell you.
We're interviewing him telepathically.
Where you can see fireworks in Northeast Mississippi.
Oh, yes, July 4th.
This week. Well, no, it's not.
Almost.
It's the 30th.
It's coming up, is what we're talking
about. Unless you're in Australia, it might be the 4th.
They don't care about July 4th over there.
This is true. Monday is the 4th of July. Yes. Of course, it'll be the annual picnic in the park in Tupelo at the 30th annual, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
All-America picnic at Ballard Park. Going to kick off at noon on Monday with vendors selling food, and music starts at 2:30 p.m. all the way up until 8:15 with a performance from the North Mississippi Symphony Orchestra and fireworks at 9 p.m. So that's where you can go here. Also in Tupelo on Monday, the annual Joiner Parade is going to be lining up at Rob Leak City Park at 10 a.m. Golf carts, lawnmowers, side-by-sides, bicycles, four-wheelers, convertibles, and floats are all welcome.
Yes. This is awesome.
Cool. You hear that?
Yeah, I heard that.
All right. Just making sure you got all that.
That won't be here. It doesn't matter for me.
For more information, 322-3724 on that one for Picnic in the Park, 841-6440. If you're in Oxford, as they do every year, it's a full celebration leading up to the 4th of July. There's things going on. There's the Firecracker Bash at the Lyric with live music and a silent auction. There's a community dance this year. That's a first. It's going to be at 5 p.m. at the Community Pavilion, on University Avenue. Monday's festivities are going to start at 7:30 a.m. with the Stars and Stripes on the Square 5K, which benefits the Oxford Lafayette Humane Society. Doggies, kitties.
That's good.
That's all I got. I don't know. and then in the Grove, music, 4 p.m. until nightfall. And also a ceremony to reflect on the holiday, fireworks at 9 p.m. More details on that, lou4thofjuly.com, L-O-U, Lafayette, Oxford University.
I got you.
4thofjuly.com. Mm-hmm. Guntown. Guntown's
Independence
Day.
Guntown, they just all together in the square and shoot off pistols.
There you go.
Into the sky.
Got a beauty pageant at 6 p.m.
Guntown beauty pageant.
Street dancing with live music from Eric Nanny and the 20 Mile Band at Guntown City Park on Saturday. That's on Friday. On Saturday, festivities continue with a car and motorcycle show at 10 a.m. and a dog show at noon. There you go. Pontotoc at the Howard Stafford Park, live music that night at 6. Fireworks start at 9 p.m. 489-1882. More information on that. Thaxton, free food, games, live music, inflatables, everything else going to be available at the Thaxton Ballpark on Saturday starting at 6 p.m. I don't remember. What do you do on years when
I'm going to Thaxton?
4th of July is like on a Wednesday.
That's where I'm going.
We're going to have the party on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Ripley's annual Star Spangled celebration at the People's Bank Sportsplex starts Saturday at 2 p.m. with live music from Sweet Tea Jubilee starting at 6:30 p.m. and fireworks around 9:30. So pretty much you're going to be able to hear or see fireworks in some vicinity or some corner of Northeast Mississippi.
In addition to the neighborhood kids firing them off like a day early, like they like to do.
Dang kids with their MTV.
In town.
Yeah. Is anybody having anything for Canada Day on Friday?
Yes.
Nobody cares about Canada.
I'm going to be having maple syrup pancakes.
Oh, perfect.
In my Tim Hortons mug.
Eh? What'd you say? Eh? I didn't hear you. Okay.
It's Canada Day.
What's your column about? Comic-Con, huh?
Yeah, I went to Comic-Con in Mississippi. Mississippi Comic-Con.
Oh, that's right. You were like a big shot speaker.
No, that is in Jackson. Nice. It was hot.
Didn't you give some kind of presentation or outside? Something?
Well, the lines getting in were outside. Okay, I didn't have to wait in line, but the people...
Like,
well, I didn't. I'm just saying, I didn't sweat for anything. I also didn't wear a costume either. God bless the people that were, because they were... The stigma around cons is they smell bad, and I would agree that this one did.
Well,
there's a lot, you know, you got to give these people props for creating these intricate costumes, this cosplay, and these really detailed things, but even more the fortitude to wear them when it's 126 degrees Fahrenheit. Yes.
It's like being a baseball mascot. It's just a special kind of person.
Yeah, so there was a lot of really cool things.
Yeah, so what were you doing there exactly? You were speaking? Come on.
I know. What? Yeah, I spoke.
About what?
Stuff.
About...
I talked about you, Brad.
Star Wars? Being so elusive.
I talked about you.
Was it Star Wars?
No, it was
related?
Not Star Wars.
Was it Superman?
I did. Yes, I did. It was actually a Superman.
Okay.
Then I talked to Brad a little bit, too, and his mustache and his ugly glowing shirt. Hey, welcome back.
Hey, buddy.
How are you?
This shirt's not bad.
No, it's okay. It's muted.
Yeah. Although it's not the same shirt I'm wearing
on
the rest of the episode when you're not here.
I'm very plain. As much as I can blend in and not be noticed, that's where I go for at all times.
Just stand up against the wall.
Yeah. Like, your shirt, your wall, and your hair.
Just my floating head. Nobody, pay no attention to the man behind the microphone.
Well, it sounds like a fun weekend full of patriotic events, Derek.
What? Oh, yeah, that. I thought you were talking about Comic-Con. I was like, no.
No,
I'm trying to get a lot of Japanese stuff I don't understand.
I'm trying to get you out of here.
Oh.
Just kidding.
Godspeed. Y'all have a good episode.
Love you, buddy. All right. Good show, Lauren. Thanks for pitching in.
Thanks for having me. I could actually come and do it today.
Yay.
Yay.
You don't co-host often enough.
No. Yeah.
More Lauren, less Derek. Don't tell him I said that.
Noted.
Once again, I need to remind you that today's show is sponsored by South. It's a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Try their cheap date night every Tuesday when the restaurant offers two meals for the price of one. That includes salad, sides, dessert, and beer or wine, all for $25. So go to South on North Gloucester. Not North on South Gloucester. South on North Gloucester. I'm going tomorrow.
Oh, yeah?
I think.
Oh,
supposed to be a birthday gathering.
Yeah, for Misha.
For Misha.
Happy birthday, Rogers. Misha. Yeah. Early birthday.
So we'll be at South having lunch tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to get. There's so many good choices.
I know.
Maybe catfish.
Their tomato pie is like...
South Burger's good.
Mm. Is it?
They put greens on it. I think it's kind of a neat taste. I hadn't had a burger. Have y'all had it before?
No.
They put, yeah, it's
they
good.
Put what the on it?
Greens. Yeah, I didn't grow up with greens a lot. And Deanna made them for New Year's. Yeah, so yeah. I started making them for New Year's last few years and puts them with bacon. Mm-hmm. And
well, my older sister loves delicious. Them. My older sister loves greens, but I just never stomach them.
They taste like bacon.
If you say so.
Well, I mean, like I said, you mm-hmm. cook it with yeah, enough exactly. bacon. It'll
well, I guess if you put enough bacon on anything.
It tastes more like bacon.
Tastes good. True. Yeah. So, it's Thursday. We will not be back. This is the last show of the week. Won't be back until
Happy 4th of July, everyone.
No show Monday because it's 4th of July, Independence Woo. Day. So, enjoy.
Fireworks.
Yes, enjoy the fireworks and mm-hmm. cooking out. And if you go to any of these events, and be safe and don't blow off your finger with a firecracker. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, please don't do that.
No, don't do that. Mm. I'll be in Missouri for the next
week. I'll be in Alabama over the weekend.
What are you doing? Oh,
My aunt lives there.
Your aunt, that's right. I forgot your aunt lives in Alabama. You mm-hmm. do have relations down here.
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. She's from Michigan originally, but moved down.
You've told me about her. She's mm-hmm. been here a while.
Yep. About 25 years, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
She cook Southern food?
I don't know. I'll have to ask her.
Have her cook something for you.
Yeah. Well, I know they're doing like a really big shrimp boil.
There you go.
Yeah. So.
As noted yesterday on the show, I don't like shrimp.
All right, let's wrap this show up. I can't talk to you anymore.
All right, well, Derek and somebody, perhaps Lauren, will be mm-hmm. back on Wednesday. Again, I'll be out all next week. So until next time, be sure to follow us on Twitter at DJournalMemo. And listen to us a variety of ways on iTunes, your podcast app, or at memo.djournal.com. Check out the latest news, sports, and entertainment at djournal.com or in your daily journal. And follow us on Twitter at DJournal. Now, I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. Lauren's on Twitter at Wood, L-A-U, the number two.
Woo!
Woodlaw 2.
Woodlaw 2.
Chris Kiefer on Twitter at Chris Kiefer. Simple enough. Two Fs.
Pretty easy.
Yeah, pretty easy. I before E.
I before E. And
except after C.
But it's a K. It's a K. So it's okay.
When it sounds like A is a neighbor in way, but it's not Kiefer, it's Kiefer. Stop.
It's Kiefer.
No.
What?
No rules. No grammar rules today.
Okay. Okay, well, y'all have a wonderful, safe, happy 4th of July weekend.
Yes.
Go America and all that America. Good stuff. And okay. We'll see you next week.
Bye.